But most of the time, it is development through. That is, God wants us to be delivered from things, I believe, that are a real hindrance to us. But those things that He can use for His glory in developing our lives, He actually develops us through the process. And what I've learned about the Christian life, it's a lot like weightlifting, you know? If you ever start out weightlifting, probably you didn't start out with 200 pounds. In fact, some of you guys lifted a lot more than that. I know, I'm sure Troy, when he was there in athletics there in Kansas State, had to lift a lot of weight, especially leg lifts and things like that. But even with that, you know, you don't start out with a maximum weight. You have to build up. And the more you lift, the more you are conditioned to lift until finally you are developing through lifting a lot. The lesson that we have in that is simply this. Spiritually speaking, folks, the more you develop in Christ, the greater the load often comes. And sometimes the challenges get more and more difficult along the way. And you'll find that when you're trusted with small things, God then sometimes will give you some major things to deal with. And those are the ways things come into our lives. Well, that's what we essentially talked about this morning. But there is a purpose for that. And you remember I finished the message with a focus on the purpose for that. And that's where we're going to part tonight. The purpose of our development is in order that we might develop a testimony to the glory of Christ. And I do hope and pray that all of you are beginning to see in your lives that God's purpose for you is the development of a testimony. He wants you to be able to share. And He wants you to be able to share effectively with others what the grace of Christ is really all about. And if you're not seeing your life and all the troubles of your life like that, then you've missed the whole point. You've not got a clue as to what's going on. See, this whole thing is not, like I said before, it's not ever a dress rehearsal. This is the real thing. This is what it's all about. And what we're involved in right now is not a dress rehearsal. If we're not careful, we become thinking like we're thinking about the new building. We can't afford to wait until we get there in order to do the things we ought to do. Nor can we afford to wait to future years in order to be the witness that we ought to be. Because what you'll do is one day you'll wake up and you'll look at your wife in the bed and say, I'm 64 years old. Where has it all gone? How quickly did it pass? And it seems like, you know, it seems like 11 years of your life that you spent living in Africa was like a 2-week trip just last week because it passed by that quickly. Life does that for us, folks. And so what you're doing right now is likely what you're going to continue doing for the rest of your life. In other words, if you don't change the direction you're going right now, that's exactly where you're going to end up. If you're not being a witness for Christ today, then you're likely never going to be unless you stop and honestly assess the situation and say, wait, I've got to get on with it. It's time. It's time now. So this is what David is talking about in this passage. And we're going to look at the passage tonight, just focus on a couple of verses that I kind of focused on this morning. But something that I really want you to understand is a burden of my heart because I believe this is what God would have us to do. Now, before we get into this, let me say you don't have to be 64 years old. You don't have to be an old man, and I was reminded of that repeatedly on this trip. I did keep up, though, and I'm glad I was able to do that. But you don't have to be an old man in order to leave a legacy. You young guys must realize there are always going to be younger guys as well. And believe it or not, the younger guys, Dylan, are watching you. You're how old, 20? 19. Okay, 19 years old. Already the younger guys are watching you. They're already watching you. They're looking to see how you handle it along the way. Now, the Bible is clear that we're not to let any man look down upon us because we're young. In other words, you got to start somewhere, and now is where you start. You start the moment, whatever age you are, when you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, God wants to grow you up and He wants to develop you. So you can be 19, you can be 30-something, you can be 40, 50. Some of you here join me in the 60s. There may be a few 70-year-olds here tonight. I don't know. I'm looking around. I don't see. Kevin, how old are you? I'm teasing. I don't see anybody that's 70, I don't think, but maybe there are. Yeah, he's out. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, Barb, you get into 70s, eh? Okay, there you go. What I'm saying is simply this. The age is not the factor here. The factor is that we live a testimony for the glory of Christ. That's the purpose of the Christian life. If you've not discovered that, then you've not discovered the meaning of the Christian life. The purpose of the Christian life is to be an example to others, to go and make disciples. Now, it is true that many of us enter into the Christian life simply on the basis of thinking, I don't want to go to hell. I'd rather go to heaven. And so I want Jesus to save me and give me eternal life. And he does that. That is his merciful grace. But once you are saved, he says to follow after him, to walk the Christian life, to live as God intends for us to live, has always foundationally and from the beginning and even now is a continual life of witness, sharing, and building up the faith of other people. So keep that in mind as we look in this thing tonight. All right, two verses. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but as always, I want you to honor God's word as we look at it together. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. Right there in our text this morning, this is what David had to say. I say David. It could have been Jeremiah, we saw that. Could have been Samuel, we saw that too. But I feel like it's probably David or Samuel that wrote this psalm. And there was very little difference. Remember, Samuel was David's spiritual mentor. And so because he was his spiritual mentor, those thoughts go together. It's often like that, guys. I know I'm putting in a lot of parentheses here. We are going to get to the cupcakes early, but let me just say this. You see that often in Scripture with the guys in Scripture who wrote. For example, you see Paul's thoughts coming through Luke's writing oftentimes. Somebody asked me one time, you know, who do you think wrote the book of Hebrews? I think that Luke penned it. I think it's his vocabulary. I think if you study Greek language, you'll find that it's the most eloquent Greek outside of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts found in the New Testament. Probably Luke wrote it, but I think Paul thought it. I think Paul expressed it, and Luke just wrote it down and put it in the vocabulary that he put it in. God used that, though, wonderfully because of the tremendous vocabulary that Luke, as the most educated of all of the disciples, had, or the apostles, he had the ability, you see, to express himself in near classical perfect Greek. Unlike the other guys, they were not nearly as educated, and it comes through as you read. They were much more simple in the way that they wrote. Well, there's so many directions I could go when I get talking like this, but let me just get here where we are. I think that this is probably Samuel's thoughts, David's thoughts, and possibly mingled together. And Samuel was a mentor. It's interesting. Now that David, if in fact he wrote this, saw himself also as a mentor. And each of us must ultimately see ourselves in that way. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wonderful works. Even when I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. Then I will proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. And as I've said, that is a growing conviction in my heart. These verses have become a mission statement for my life at this stage in life. I am convinced that a call from God includes all the value of experience that is there. It must come out in your life ultimately, and you have to be able to share it. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'll speak to us now through your word as we briefly share together, that we'll learn the lesson, the important lesson of being a mentor and a faithful witness in all that we do, and regardless what age we might be, Lord, that we might be faithful in the task of sharing the good news of Jesus with others. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, Paul put it this way. He said that we have the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about earthen vessels is the older they get, the more likely they are to crack. I've got a number of earthen vessels in my home. Those are Tonga vessels primarily. There's one that sits on my mantle, if you've ever been there. And by the way, I don't know what we're going to do for our Christmas open house this year. The city has decided to pave the center of the street. I don't know yet where everybody's going to park. We're going to have to work a plan, though. I had some homemade ice cream this afternoon, and I just can't go through the Christmas holiday without homemade ice cream. So we're going to have to work a plan. We may have open house in our new small dining facility in our new building. That may be where we have to celebrate it. I'm not sure just yet where we're going to do it. If we can, we'll have parking. Jeff, I don't know, I'll be consulting you guys probably to know where we can park down there on that street. I know the city has asked us not to park our vehicles at night on that street, but we'll get to that anyway. We'll work out a plan. Having said all those things, I'm chasing rabbits tonight, as you can tell. But, you know, I'm just so glad to be home. I am, and just talk to... No, well, I didn't make it. I was a guest. Yeah, I was a guest at a birthday party this afternoon, and so, yeah, but it was worth having, I'll guarantee you that. Where was I? Anyway, cracked vessels is where I was. You'll notice something about cracked vessels. You'll notice something about old tents. They tend to be torn. This body that we live in is a tent, according to Scripture. It's also a vessel, an earthen vessel. But the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, we have contained in us the gospel of Christ. I believe this, and I believe it as a matter of conviction and as a matter of experience as well. The more you age, the more the cracks begin to show. The more the tears are obvious. But what happens from that experience is whatever is on the inside of you begins to just naturally flow out. It begins to be easier to do it in that sense because many of the things that you share at this stage in life, you're not sharing just because of academic study. You're sharing because of personal experience walking with the Lord in His Word. And when you begin to share in that way, then you become a mentor. You begin to mentor people. And that's such a valuable thing that we need to think about our lives as God's people. If you don't have somebody that you're mentoring, if you don't have somebody that you're sharing with on a consistent, regular basis, then you need to find somebody. If you say, well, I'm not able to do that, I'm not equipped to do that, then you need to get you a mentor and get equipped right quick because you're running out of time. You need to be able to share with somebody else and be able to mentor somebody else and make sure that you're pouring your life into someone else's life, as I said this morning. You see, I believe that each and every one of us has an inner desire to go beyond success. I think we want to go beyond success to significance. Now, what happens oftentimes, and this is where a lot of people get fouled up in their lives, is a lot of people park at the success stage of life. They think, if I can just hit this bar, if I can just reach this level, if I can just do this thing, if I can just have this plaque hung up somewhere, then I will be a success. And they think to be a success is the same thing as being a mentor. That's not how you pour your life into the life of another person. You have to move beyond success to significance. You see, there is a time in our lives when we are successful, no doubt about it, but you need to be significant in that you begin to impact the lives of other people. We want our lives to mean something, and we want our lives to make a difference. And I think Christians of all people are freed to do just that. We are freed to live significant lives. You know why? Because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross. I don't have to earn anything. See, I've begun to get to a stage, at least in my life, where I have nothing to lose and nothing to prove. Because I'm walking in the will of God for my life, and I recognize that. And so I don't have to earn my way into heaven. I never could do that, and I know that. You know that. But because of that, we're in a position now to begin to live our lives in the freedom of expression of what God created us to be. Now, that's where you want to get to in your life. If you're not there yet, you need to get there in your life where you are able now to begin expressing who you are and recognizing that that's why God created you to be who you are, because He wants you to be able to mentor in the lives of other people. You see, we don't have to worry about working off our sins. We don't have to worry about living a certain way to please God. As long as we're living in the center of His will, we are pleasing to God. With God's love and forgiveness, we are empowered to make a mark on life. And so we're freed to leave what we call a legacy. And this legacy is what's valuable, because you begin to impact the lives of others. Now, this is a direct command from God. I hope you understand that. The Bible is very true and very consistent about teaching. You older men should be examples to the younger men. You older women should be examples to the younger women. In fact, it goes on to teach us that we actually should be doing that officially as a part of our life ministry. We should be gathering those around us. You see, we have to understand the difference in the legacies that we leave as God's people and the legacies that people of the world think they should leave. For example, the world basically would tell you if you're going to leave a legacy, you have to be a person of power and prestige. But God says a person of service, a person who gives himself or herself. You remember James and John saw Jesus as a revolutionary, and they really wanted to get on board. They really wanted to be a part of that. Oh, yes, Lord, we want to follow you. We really do. We want to find a life of success. In fact, they said, we want to follow you. And when you get to your kingdom, you know where we'd like to sit? We'd like to be on your right and your left. And what did Jesus say to them? Wrong, guys. You got the wrong motive there. But he didn't say it just exactly like that. He surprised them. He said, let me ask you a question. Can you drink the cup I'm about to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized with? Now, they had to think about that because they knew what he was about to experience. They knew he was about to die. They knew he was getting unpopular. They knew the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians all were after him. They were all coming for him now. And so what did they say? Quickly, without thinking, oh, yes, we can do that. Yeah, yeah, we're there. They didn't think about all those things. They just thought about the success end of it. We want to be there, right and left. That's where we'd like to be, right? Side by side. Wherever you sit, we want to sit on each side of you. Jesus then really threw them a curve. Because you've heard me say this before, folks. He said to them as he looked them straight in the eye, he said, you will indeed be baptized with the baptism I'm about to experience. And you will indeed drink the cup. Now, they had no idea what they were getting into, folks, but what happened in their lives. Let me tell you something. This is something that is a warning as well as an encouragement to you. If you make a commitment of your life to follow Christ, and you want to follow Christ intently, genuinely, significantly, and you make that commitment in your life to do that, guess who's going to bring that to pass? He that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. That is, if you make that kind of commitment, you're going to be surprised that God is going to let you live up to that commitment. He's going to see you through on that commitment, and that might involve some of these unexplainable circumstances we were talking about this morning. If you make a decision in your life to be truly like Jesus, truly like Him, then God's going to do a unique work in your life. If you really want to go beyond the average, if you want to be one who truly follows after Christ. Now, I can't imagine anybody ever wanting to be an average Christian. First of all, it's a misnomer. You know, an average Christian, by very nature of the term Christian, means to be followers of Christ, to be like Christ, and by that very nature of the term, you and I become countercultural people. That's what a lot of people are misunderstanding in our day, folks. Some people think that you can be a Christian without being counterculture. You cannot be. It is impossible to be. The world is geared and set up against Christianity and vice versa. You cannot be without being counterculture. You have to be willing to risk a lot. But James and John thought that they were going to be in a position of power and prestige. And what they saw here was an opportunity to get in on the ground floor. But Jesus said, wait a minute. You're misunderstanding this deal. You will indeed be baptized. You will indeed drink the cup. How did those guys bite the dust? Anybody know? Anybody remember? Yeah, one was beheaded. He was, just like Jesus said, just like he promised him. It wasn't that sitting in a power position or prestige position, was it? James was beheaded. However, because of that, what happened to him? Because of that, the Bible says those who are martyred for the gospel of Christ have a special elevated position there in the kingdom. Now, isn't that interesting? He did a switcho on him. Yeah, he fulfilled his ambition, but he fulfilled it in a way that was genuine and right. And that's the way it always is in our lives. How did John die? Nope, not John. This one's going to surprise you. How? Old man, yes, old man, but how? Lonely, isolated, out on the Isle of Patmos, completely out there by himself, like David Livingstone that I was talking about. That same kind of death. Why do you think, pardon? Yeah, you better believe it, but why do you think John was allowed to live so long? All the other disciples died as young men because they all died as martyrs. Why do you think John, of all people, there's a key in Scripture to it, folks. Why John, of all people, was that allowed? And I'm just chasing rabbits. We're just learning lessons tonight, okay? Why do you think he was allowed to live so long? Well, that was his purpose to write the book of Revelation, but there is a reason why I think he was granted that long life. Because of what?
He was the one Jesus loved.
The one Jesus loved, that's very significant, but take it just a step further. Okay, all good answers, but not what I'm looking for. What is the first promise? What is the first commandment with promise? Honor thy father and thy mother, that your days will be long on the earth. This will be the first promise of God, right? Jesus was dying. He turned to who?
John.
John, will you take care of this woman? Will you treat her as your mother? Yes, I will. He stepped up to it. God honored what he had honored already in his word. It's consistent all the way through. Now then, he honored the mother, and so what happens? There's your life. There's your life. God always keeps his word, folks. He does. And it surprises us, if we look into the lives of others, we can find that God is doing that. A second thing, folks, is sometimes people focus on accomplishments more than they focus on people. In other words, we have a society that focuses on what people do and what they've done. I read a history book one time that talked about the guy who built and managed, or basically managed, the World Trade Center. They put a plaque, gave him a plaque that hung in the lobby, the downstairs lobby of the World Trade Center. When they gave that to him, you know what he said in response? He said, this is one of the greatest engineering feats in the history of the human race. This is undoubtedly one of the greatest jobs in the history of the human race. And I believe this plaque will stand here in this building for 1,000 years. That's what he said. How long did that take? Yeah. It's not about accomplishments. It's about people. People. Be certain that you pour your life into the lives of people. Make sure you put your resources, your investments in the lives of people. See, our job in life, and I'm not even going to get started here hardly, but these are just some things I wanted to share with you tonight. If we're going to leave a legacy, we need to leave it in the lives of people. Make sure that we invest in people, not in things. I mean, it's okay that we'll be able to say, you know, 100 years from now, they may look over there at that building and they may say, well, you know, there were a bunch of people that built that building, but that's not what it was about, folks. I said from the beginning, it's not about this building. You know, that building can go up in flames overnight, too. But what is it about? It is about the lives of people whose lives will be changed there in and through that tool. And that's all it's ever been and all it ever will be. And we need to keep a mind on that. If we're to leave a legacy, we need to leave it in the lives of people. I'm going to just do this. I'm going to really, I start to say really be good, but I don't know if I've ever really been good in my life. But I'm going to try to let you out early tonight. We're going to have some cupcakes and a good time. You brought enough for everybody? Okay, we got enough for everybody. So we're just going to have a party before we leave. Okay? So let me just conclude by saying this. The candle is a parable of life. And the reason the candle is a parable of life is that a candle gives light to others, but in the process, it consumes itself. Okay? In the process, it is consumed as it gives light to others. And when our lives become candles, we are finally in a position where we can leave a legacy. When we begin to realize that the cracks that are there in the old clay pot, the tears that are there in the old tent. I was changing shirts the other day, and old Josh Monhalla walks by and says, whoa, I don't want anybody to see that. I said, it's all I got left to work with. You know, age just takes it out of you. Gravity, you'll do it after a while, bud. It does. We all get old. We all get old. The reality, though, is this. When those cracks begin to come, when those tears begin to come, then the light begins to shine out. And we begin to have that position again, as I've said, of more than success. We begin to be significant because then we're able to pour our lives into the lives of other people. Just remember, you're a candle. I just thought about this going out on our website. Well, Mom's listening right now on the website, I know. Oh, well. A candle is being consumed, but it gives light to other people. That's the way it has to be with our lives, folks. Settle that issue in your mind. David was saying here, or Samuel was saying here, whoever wrote this psalm was saying here, I want to be a testimony to a coming generation. I want this generation that's coming to grow up and be able to stand in strength because of the life that I lived and because of what I responded and how I responded to the Lord. That should be the major goal of every one of us here. And I don't mean you've got to be old. I mean that, folks. You can be a young man. Jeff, it should be your same goal in life at 30. You know, what I just came up against a wall one time when I was 33 years old. I looked around, I thought, he had it all done by this age. Everything. He did it all by the time he was 33. And there was so much more to do. But I think that was one of those high water marks in my life. You know, you get to those points where you just say, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. Those anointing times that come along the way, those times when you go before God and you say, Lord, this is what I really, really want in my life. And you really, really mean it from your heart. And so God begins to do that work in your life. But just remember, everyone, regardless whether you're young or old here tonight, there is no blazing without burning. It doesn't happen. You got to pay a price. You have to pay a price. You've got to be willing to go further. You've got to be willing to stay up longer. You've got to be willing to go deeper. You've got to be willing to work harder. You've got to be willing to do those things, spiritually speaking, that we sometimes justify in athletics. The really great stars, you know, you can say whatever you want to. I mean, you can look at them, but you look at the really great stars in athletics. And I'll guarantee you, those are the guys that are there early at the gym. Those are the guys that are they're staying late. Those are the guys that are willing to invest the time that it takes to be that good. It doesn't usually happen. I mean, there are some natural talents, no doubt about it, but it doesn't usually happen without a lot of hard work. And the same thing is true spiritually. Well, I said we're going to close, and we are. We're going to go have our cupcakes. Marion Primiger illustrates this point. Have you ever heard of Marion Primiger? Any of you ever heard of Otto Primiger? Okay. Otto Primiger was an old director in Hollywood. Marion Primiger was born in Hungary to an aristocratic family. And she became an actress, and she later married Otto Primiger. That's where she got her name, Primiger. The couple moved to Hollywood, where Marion was caught up in the glamour, in the lights, in the superficial excitement of Hollywood, and she became a person who soon started living a sordid life. So sordid, in fact, that Primiger divorced her. And Marion returned to Europe after that divorce. By chance, she thought at the time, but I wonder if there was chance involved at all. She met a young doctor by the name of Albert Schweitzer. A musician, by the way. Jeff, did you know that? Yeah, and a doctor, yes. Who gave up the good life in order to go to Africa and care for sick people there. Marion Primiger discovered that that was all she wanted. And so she followed him there. And in her autobiography, which was entitled, All I Ever Wanted Was Everything, she discovered that she could not get everything until she gave everything. And in her obituary, she stated, Albert Schweitzer said, there are two kinds of people in this world, the helpers and the non-helpers. I decided, she said, I'm going to be a helper. Somewhere along the way, we all have to make that decision. That's what it comes down to. That's how you leave a legacy in this life. That's how you leave a legacy that's worth leaving. You can have success, you can have prominence, you can have prestige, you can have power, you can have all of those kind of things. But if you're going to leave a legacy that is a legacy of significance, it has to be a legacy that's poured into the lives of others. Who are the people that have touched your life? Think about it. Really touched your life. Who left their legacy burning bright within you? If it's a great legacy, you need to pass it on. You need to realize that it's there for a reason, there for a purpose, and it should become a blazing fire. Jean Calmette was 120 years old. She was the oldest living human being whose birth could be actually authenticated, and she was asked what her vision for the future was, and she said, very brief. When the reporter went on to ask her what she liked best about being old, she said, there's very little peer pressure. We're running out of time, folks, and that's true. But the reality is, each one of us, we can look at old age and we can laugh about it, we can joke about it, but each one of us are running out of time. You start running out of time the day you're born. Yeah. And we're in this race. You get one shot, one. This is it. The life you're living right now, as I've said it before, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is not a warm-up practice. This is it. This is it. What we're doing with this one life that we have is the only chance we're ever going to have to make a contribution to eternity. The only response that we're ever going to give is what we're going to give now. Think about that. Live like that. Live like a candle. You'll be consumed, but you can give life and light to others. That's enough tonight. Let's go eat cupcakes. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your truth. Help us to be people that make a difference. In Jesus' name.